Let's take our Bibles, please, and go to Psalm 23. So, what are you preaching on this morning? The next verse. So, 4 comes after 3. All right, let's just read the psalm once again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the King James Bible is one of the easiest things to remember. It's just the way it's worded, the way it has the syntax, the way just everything about it leads to easy memorization. And I'm sure that as I read this for you just a moment ago, many of you were repeating it in your head, because you already have it memorized. All you had to do was just maybe glance down every now and then and you could see the words. But Psalm 23 is the most beloved of all the Psalms. And it has been quoted so many times through the years at weddings, at funerals, in hospitals. I mean, it is just loaded with assurance and comfort for the people of God. All right, now this morning, I want us to look at verse 4. And you will notice the last two words in this fourth verse are the two words, comfort me. Comfort me. All right, I want to speak this morning, comfort on this subject, comfort from the shepherd. Remember, we're talking about the Lord who is our shepherd. All right, so let's look this morning at comfort from the shepherd. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you now for the word of God. And I pray that you will bless this to our hearts today. All of us need a little comfort this morning. There's not a person in this room who is not dealing with something that causes them anxiety or frustration or a little fear. And so, Father, I ask you to help me to say what I need to say this morning. And then I pray the Holy Spirit of God will use the word to make a difference and to help us today. May all of us say, as did David at the end of this verse, comfort me. Help us now, Lord, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been preaching the last couple of Sundays on the Lord Jesus as our great shepherd. David spent his early formative years as a shepherd for his father's sheep. And I made the point to you last week that David would have had plenty of time. I suppose being a shepherd would have been one of the loneliest jobs in the world. You're out in the fields. There is no one to speak with. There's no one to talk to. It's just you out there and the Lord. And David took great advantage of the Lord being with him. Many of the Psalms that are included in the book of the Psalms. And as I have shared with you, the book of the Psalms, it's the hymn book of the Bible. All right, now right in front of you, you have a maroon color. Is it maroon?
Yes.
Yeah, maroon colored book. I go in so many churches, some of them are blue, some of them are maroon. But it's a hymn book. And we sing out of the hymn book. Now, they did the same thing back in Bible times. They would gather at the synagogues and they would to worship and they would sing. They would sing out of the hymn book of the Bible. All of these psalms had a tune connected to it. All right? Many of them are several verses. They would sing. You notice that they would sing several verses, like six verses or eight verses, and then it will have the little word Selah, S-E-L-A-H, and that word Selah means consider it, think about it. And what the psalmist wanted you to do was to think about what you had just sung. Is that the right word, sung? What you had just voiced, all right? and so they wanted you to think about it. Now, the instruments would play during that time as you were sitting there and thinking about it. It was like an interlude. And then they would go and sing the next stanza. And then you would stop and think about that. And so the book of the Psalms is the hymn book of the Bible. And many of the Psalms that are here were written by David as he sat out alone taking care of the sheep. He was able to see what he gave, what he provided for the flocks that were in his care. And he then would make a parallel between what he was as a shepherd to his father's sheep to what the Lord Jesus is as the great shepherd of our souls. So he would use his experience and then look towards the heavens and realize that the Lord was his shepherd, and he would make the analogies and the appropriate claims in the psalm. Now, in verse 4, we see David showing us another part of the job that being a shepherd entails, specifically that of being a comfort to the sheep. All right, he was a comfort to the sheep. He stayed with them. They knew him. They understood his voice, and they followed his voice. Does that ring a bell with anyone? All right, does that ring a bell with anyone? Go back and read John 10. You'll see what I'm talking about. The Lord Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. They hear my voice, and they know me." All right, so David was the shepherd, and he realized that as a shepherd, it was his job to give his all to the sheep so that they were comforted. You know, we all certainly need to know that someone has our back, don't we?
Amen.
Yeah, we all need to know that. We all need to know that someone has our back. We need that assurance that we have someone who protects and enables and encourages us as we go through life. We all need to understand that our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is where we find comfort in this distressed world. You see, Christian, the world is unable to give consistent comfort to the people of God. The world cannot give what only God can give. As a matter of fact, we have noticed that, and it's been our experience that the world doesn't comfort. The world discomforts. In times, it distresses and it brings us to despair and to desperation. But we have one who comforts us. I don't know about you, but in my 68 years, there have been many, many times where I have gone through various and sundry trials, some physical and some emotional and some no doubt oppression from the devil. But in that 68 years, most of which I have spent saved and knowing the great shepherd, but I have learned how and when and why I need to trust the great shepherd. Haven't you? Sure we have. That is one of the things that that the Spirit of God and the Word of God teaches us to do as we go through life. That's why it's so important, Christian, for you to read your Bible on a daily basis. You see, you get comfort from the Word of God. You get encouragement from the Word of God. You learn about your shepherd and you know what that shepherd can do for you. Now, none of us enjoy the times of trial or heartache, but all of us have gone through those times, and let's just look back on all the times that we have had to deal with despair and distress and fear, and let's realize that it is our good shepherd who has guided us through those times. So I want to preach from this verse this morning, and I want you to notice two things about the comfort that we receive from the Good Shepherd. First of all, I want you to think with me about the crisis for the comfort. The crisis for the comfort. You say, well, I haven't had any crises lately. Well, hang on, you're about to. All right? It's coming your way. You say, everything's been going great for me. Don't say that too loud. All right? You just got to be watching, because just about around every corner there is a crisis situation that is waiting for you. But look at your Bible, please. Look at verse 4. Notice here, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, folks, whatever crisis we might face, that crisis is summed up by David as a valley that we have to go through. It is a valley that we have to go through. Now, let me ask you, how many of you like the mountaintops better than the valleys? Would you raise your hand, please? That's what I thought. Yeah. You like the mountaintops better than the valleys, don't you? I do. I do. And I figure you do as well. But there are two things implied in this verse about this valley crisis that we all eventually have to go down. First of all, I want us to focus on the character of the valley. The character of the valley. In verse 4, David explains to us that our valley experiences can be horrifying. They can be very scary. They can be absolutely horrifying. Notice what David calls it here. He calls it the valley of the shadow of death. You know, there's a picture that shows the seriousness of this in your Bible. Do you remember the account in Luke 10 of the Good Samaritan? You remember that story? All right, the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus was telling this story, but in verse 30, the Lord Jesus said that a man went from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Now, for those of you that have been to the Holy Land with me, you know that Jericho is down the mountain. When you're up on top of the mountain, you're in Jerusalem. And it is a massive city that sits all up on top of a mountain. I mean, it's amazing. They built the whole city. I mean, huge city. And it's all on top of that mountain. And then you go off that mountain and you go down. You're at like 3,600 feet above sea level up here in Jerusalem. And then you go down. You ready for this? 3 miles. That's it. 3 miles. You go down that mountain, 3 miles, and you're at Jericho. You say, wow, isn't that Jericho is way below sea level. It's down next to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on the planet. And so you leave Jericho and you go down, and when you get down there, you are way below sea level. All right, now, today, that is a very nice four-lane highway. Okay? It's really nice today. You get on one of those big old buses, and you make your way down through there. And it is just a steep, steep drive, and by the time the bus driver gets down to the bottom, he just lets off, and man, you are flying down that mountain. Every time they scare me to death, and I think, oh my goodness, please don't hit a rock in the road, whatever you do. I mean, you're flying down through there. And so, but back in our Lord's day, now today it's a four-lane highway, but back in our Lord's day, there was no four-lane highway to get down to Jericho and the Jordan River and the Dead Sea area. None. And so the way they traveled was what was called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And the reason that it is called that is because there's a little creek that comes out of the mountain up in Jerusalem, and it has just through the centuries cut a way down to Jericho. Now, most of the time it's dried up. Today they have boxed it up and they send the water down a trough and collect it down at the bottom of the hill to use for various and sundry things. But in Bible times, it was just the creek that went down through there. Now, some of you will remember back years ago, we had a guide whose name was Michael, and he was fearless for one thing, and he was about half crazy. And so while everybody else pulls up that mountain and you pull off the road and then you walk over and you look down in that ravine where they call the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And listen, in Bible times, you did not go through there by yourself. There were always thieves. And that's what the story in Luke 10 is all about. This guy went down through there and the thieves jumped him. They took everything he had. They beat him up and left him on the side of the road to die. Remember the story? All right, but now, here's what Michael did. We pulled up and everybody got off and started looking. And we were all amazed. You could look down this way and just see mountain after mountain after mountain. And you could see all the way down to the Jordan Valley, look across and see Jordan over on the other side. And we were just in awe of the beauty and the vastness of that Judean wilderness. And so Michael says, okay, let's go. Let's go. So everybody gets back on the bus, and instead of backing up and going out, getting on the road and going and proceeding on, no, Michael says, how many of you want to go out through the valley? And nobody raised their hand. I know I didn't want to go out through the valley in a bus, in the 72-passenger Mercedes-Benz bus. No, thank you. He said, all right, everybody, hang on. Remember Nancy? Nancy was screaming bloody murder. You would have thought someone was trying to choke her to death. I mean, she's back. She's sitting on the by the window. And Nancy, if I'm lying, I'm dying, right? You could look over and go all the way down 1,000, 2,000 feet in some instances, right? And Nancy is putting her hand over her eyes and she's going, no, no, no. It scared her to death. I mean to tell you, folks, it's harrowing. It's harrowing. But that is the valley of the shadow of death. And you did not want to go down that trail alone. There were dozens and dozens of places where evil-intentioned men could hide and then ambush you and do whatever they wanted, even in many cases, leaving men dead. They would just kill you, take everything you had, and leave you to lay. Well, I'm telling you, folks, for 3 miles, that road snaked its way down that mountain. Sometimes you could see that it was a road. Most of the time you could not. And it seemed like that bus driver stayed right to the edge more than necessary. All right, just my personal opinion. It was more than necessary. For 3 miles, we snaked our way through that naturally eroded canyon. And it became clear to all of us that when this man walked through this valley, he was putting himself in harm's way. So when David says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Folks, let me tell you something. You cannot avoid the valley. You can't avoid the valley. There is a valley that is waiting on you. And here's another thing. Many of us here this morning are already in the valley. You're in a difficult time. You are going through things that you wish you were not having to go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, I noticed something in this verse. I checked it thoroughly, researched every word in it. And here's what I found out. In the Hebrew language, the word death is not there. It's not there anywhere. It's not there. You say, well, then why did they translate it the valley of the shadow of death? Here's why. Here's why. The word that they used refers to dark and bitter experiences. And certainly this dark valley is one through which all of us must walk someday. Let me ask you something, folks. When you have the flu, isn't the nighttime worse than the daytime? When you have a sinus infection, when you have when you've had a surgery, in the nighttime worse than the day? I mean, don't you just hate to see sometimes the night come? I remember when I had my shoulder operated on, the first one, and I had these little bone spurs in there that had cut a tendon in my shoulder. And they said, we're going to go in there and we're going to clean out all the spurs and all the arthritis and anything else we might find. And then we're going to have to take screw. We're going to have to screw that tendon to a bone in there. And I thought, wow. I said, well, is that going to hurt? He said, yeah, quite a bit. He said, but don't worry, I'll give you medication. Well, I'm testify right now that medication did not touch it. Did not touch it. All right. And I the first 3 or 4 days, I didn't think I was going to make it. Oh, I never had anything hurt like that in my life. And so I would make it through the day, you know, sort of. But then came nighttime, and I hated to see the night come. It just seemed like it hurt worse in the evening than it did in the day. Weird about how that works, isn't it? But that's that. There's just something about those dark and bitter experiences. And folks, let's be honest. Death is certainly a dark valley that all of us have to go through at some time or another in our lives. And that valley is a difficult journey. I don't care who you are. It is a difficult journey. I remember when my grandfather had a stroke in 1970, July of 1970. And he laid in the Charleston Memorial Hospital for 2 long days and nights, slowly passing away. That was the first time I ever saw anything like that. I had never been around death before. And I have witnessed folks making that journey many, many, many times since. And it's never an easy journey. The truth is, folks, that is one of the most difficult times you'll ever spend in your life. We all know that. But David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You see, folks, our great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is equal to any of the valleys that you and I have to face. He's equal to it. We need not fear because the shepherd walks us through it. Our great shepherd can handle any crisis, whatever dark valley we may have to walk through, the Lord Jesus is up to the challenge. He's up to the challenge. Secondly, let's focus. That was the character. Secondly, let's focus on the commonness of the valley. As I read the verse, it occurred to me that crisis, troubles, trials of a severe nature, they come upon all of us. You see, trouble is not a respecter of persons. None of us are exempt from trouble. We read in the Bible that it rains on the just, but it also rains on the unjust. Both of us get rained on. Trouble is no respecter of persons. The ungodly, the unsaved person has their trials, but wait a minute, the righteous, the saved people, they have their trials as well. There's a wonderful verse in Psalm 34 in verse 19 where David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Out of them all. Back years ago in the 1950s, there was a very wealthy woman in the Northeast, and she had a load of money that was left to her by her father. And she was independently wealthy, never had a need for anything. And she realized one day how she could use her money to help somebody. And so she decided that she was going to help someone with her money who was less fortunate than she was. Someone told her about a little girl whose parents had died in an accident. And the little girl was badly injured. She badly injured her ankles and her feet. And was unable to walk. She's just a little thing, just a toddler when mom and dad were killed. And so this lady decided that she would just adopt this little girl and that her money would be spent to help her to get the surgery that she needed, but also to get the treatment that she needed and anything else she needed so she could learn to walk. Well, the surgeries worked, and soon the little girl was living like a typical teenager after years of time and years of surgeries and years of physical therapy. At 16 years of age, the girl got in trouble at school. She became rebellious against her stepmother. She ran with the wrong group of friends and just constantly in trouble. And one night the phone rang. She went down to the police station when they had, asked her to come. She went down to the police station and found out that with her quote-unquote friends, having been drunk, they went off the road and she was instantly killed. Terrible, sad story. At the funeral, the stepmother stood by the casket and wept and cried as she looked into the face of her adopted daughter. And she said in the hearing of just about everyone, "With all of my money, I helped you get where you could walk. The only trouble was, I never taught you where to walk." You see, folks, our good shepherd will be there to show us where to walk. That's the point. He is there to show us where to walk. And one of the most simplest things that you and I need to learn and hang on to is that our good shepherd will lead us in that valley. Amen. He will lead us. Second thing I want you to see, we look first of all at the, what did we look at? We look at the comfort, but now secondly, or not the comfort, the crisis for the comfort. But secondly, I want you to notice the character of the comfort. The character of the comfort. Look at verse 4 again. "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, two things about this character I want you to see. There are certain attributes to this character. All right, let's look at it. First, I want you to notice the profit from the character. What do we gain? What do we profit? Well, David said, "I will fear no evil." That's a good way to live, isn't it? Amen. Not fearing as you go through life. Man, there are people everywhere. They're just afraid of life. They're afraid to go out. They're afraid to do anything. I spoke with a fellow in the church out in Oakland where I preached 2 weeks ago. And this fellow said that I don't get out very much. And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, I just fear what could happen." I said, "Well, what could happen?" He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "This is an evil world which we live." I said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "Are you saved?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Then why do you fear? Why are you afraid? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." You don't have to be afraid. I mean, you're going to heaven, aren't you? And you know, I've come to the conclusion that when it's your time, it's your time. You know? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. We find ourselves in the valley of the shadow of death and we see no way out and we think we're not going to make it. And that is when our great shepherd steps up, puts his arm around us and removes our fears and then guides us through the darkness. That's the promise, folks. Do you remember 2 Timothy 1:7? Oh, what a tremendous verse. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is one that thinks right. That thinks right. A sound mind is a mind that is based on a biblical foundation. So David tells us there is a profit. There is an advantage that we gain when we have to go down into the dark valley. And that profit is a sound mind. Isn't it awesome, folks, that when you do have to go through the valley and then you feel the Lord come alongside of you, put his arm around you and says, trust me. And then he leads you through that valley. You get down on the other side and you look around, you look where you've come from and you go, wow, I did make it. Wow, everything's okay. Yes, it is. That's the promise, folks. Hang on to your promise. Then secondly, I want you to notice not only the profit of the comfort, but secondly, notice the particulars of the comfort. There are three little things I want you to see in the middle of this verse. All right? Three little particular things mentioned by David, and I'll close. Number one, we see the dwelling of Christ. What's he say? Thou art with me. See how personal that is? Thou art with me. When I was a little boy, I would go anywhere without fear, as long as my dad was there. You know, I thought my dad hung the moon. I was really disappointed when I found out he didn't. I thought my dad was the greatest guy. He was so smart, so strong, and I thought he could fix anything, do anything, handle anything. I mean, him just being there was enough for me. It was enough for me. We had this basement, and then back over underneath a big porch on the back there, and there was a little room. There was a little room down there, and it was unfinished. And one day we decided to finish it, pour concrete in it, and then use it. Because it was usable. And so my dad would say to me, he always had stuff down there like, you know, boards and plywood and different things. And he'd be doing something and he'd say, go down in the basement and get that 2x4 down there. Now? Yeah, now. By myself? You know, I'm about 7, 8 years old, you know. Scared to death to go down there. I don't know. I do know why. My grandfather was mean as a snake, and he used to say, don't go down there now. There's a monster in there. There's a monster in there. There wasn't no monster in there, but when you're 6 and 7 years old, you believe there's a monster in there. And my dad would say, go down there and get that 2x4. Well, Papa said there's a monster down there, Dad. There's no monster down there. Now go get the 2x4. And he would shame me into going. And I'd turn on every light going down through, every light, turn it on. And I'd get over there to the corner and look inside and try to locate that 2x4. And I said, can I reach it without having to go in there? You know? And then I hear my dad, come on, don't take all day. And I'd say, I can't find it. Well, it was leaning right there against the wall. And here he come down the steps. You big chicken. And I would go, bawk, 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 bawk. Oh, yeah. I'd take it. I'd just take it. But, hey, when you're 6 and 7 years of age, you know, but we don't have to be afraid, folks. We got a God that will stick with us no matter what. We've got a shepherd who loves us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us, and we have to realize that. Do you remember when Moses was with God, and God said, Moses, I'm just going to kill all those people and start over with you. And Moses said, oh, no, don't do that, Lord. Please don't do that. Everybody, the whole world around us is going to say that you're mean, that you just killed everybody because you didn't like them. I thought you loved everybody. And so Moses and God worked that out. And then Moses said, Lord, we're going to go. I'm going to lead them. We're going to go. But if thy presence go not with me, then don't carry us up there. Don't take us into the promised land if you're not going with us. And folks, I'm telling you, the Lord will go in that valley with you. You don't go alone. Secondly, we see the defense. We saw the dwelling of Christ, but now we see the defense from Christ. This is neat. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, you know what the staff was. That was the shepherd's crook. That was the shepherd's crook, and it was used to help the sheep. But the rod was a weapon. The rod was a weapon. The shepherd carried the rod, which was a carved out piece of a hardwood branch of a tree. And they would carve it with a handle on it so it could be gripped and thrown. And then it had a big head on the end of it. And they would take iron and drive the iron into the ball of that thing and then sharpen it on the end. And the shepherd could throw it at an animal that was attacking his sheep. So the rod was a weapon. The shepherd carried that rod, and it was used to stop an intruder of some kind. Well, you and I can look for our great shepherd and realize that nothing can dare stand against us and win, because our great shepherd defends us and thus brings us comfort. Folks, he's not going to let anything happen to you. Then thirdly, we see the discipline from Christ. David said, thy rod and thy staff, what do? Well, they comfort me. They comfort me. The staff of the shepherd was a long cane, and he would stand there with it by his side, and it had a great big crook on the top of it. Remember that? And if a little lamb got out of the way, he would take that thing, turn it upside down, and he would tap that sheep with it. And that shepherd knew where that tap was coming from, and he'd get back in line. He'd behave himself. If one of them went over a hill somewhere and got stuck in the bush, that shepherd would take the other end with the crook, and he would reach down, put it underneath, and pull him out. You see, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. When the devil comes around, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But when you get in a tight spot, he takes that long staff and he pulls you out. Let me tell you something, Christian. In the midst of a dark valley, just look around, because your good shepherd is there. He is never going to leave you. So I'm asking you to trust him and put your faith in him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray you'll bless what's been said to our hearts this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit will apply the Word of God where it is needed most. And Father, I dare say that more than not in this building are walking through that valley right now. There is a trial, there is a heartache, there is a health concern, there is a job concern, there is a child concern. Something is working against us. But Father, help us to see that our great shepherd is there to guide us. May we trust him today.